Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Got to welcome in our Richmond audience. They're with us for the next 3 hours on AM 910, FM 105.1. Thanks to Toby for the update, live with us down here at spring training, hanging out with us at the Cacti Ballpark facility where the Nats are on the road today. We spent the morning in the clubhouse with the guys before they jumped on the buses. Our coverage of Nats camp presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Right now, though, the NFL draft is one of the big stories in sports, and the Commanders hold the number 2 overall pick. And so much of what we've been doing on this show is reacting to speculation and reports about that selection. And last night, there was a rumor that caught our eye, and it was actually from Walter Football's Charlie Campbell and what he's hearing about the team's interest in possibly being willing to trade the number 2 overall pick. He joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Charlie, it's Grant and Danny here in D.C. Thank you. So why don't we start right there about what your sources are telling you as it pertains to the Commanders?
Well, teams approached them at the NFL scouting combine last week looking to move up to the second overall pick because there's just so many teams that are in the market for a quarterback. But the Commanders told them that they refused to start going down that road. They rejected the trade offers and kind of rough parameters and said they're going to stick at 2. So looks like they've zeroed in on taking a quarterback. They're still going through the process as to which quarterback that will be. I haven't heard that they've settled on a guy. It's still early here where we have pro days and pre-draft visits and private workouts and whatnot. So that process is still playing out, but they've told teams they aren't interested in trading down.
How definitive do you think that is, Charlie? Is that just something you say to try to drive the price up, or is it really, no, I don't care what you offer me, we're staying at 2?
I got the sense from that was the latter, that it was that we're going to stay at 2. It sounded very, very like committed that they weren't trying to drive up the price, or they weren't trying to, kind of start a bidding war or anything like that. It sounded like they listened in the beginning of the process, but they're settled in now, and that they're sticking at 2, and they're not interested in trading down.
You've been studying this class and these quarterbacks for a long time. What do you think of the idea of staying put at 2 rather than moving back a bit, trying to get one later?
I think they're making the right decision. I think moving down to take a different quarterback other than the top 3 could be a huge mistake. I think they're fortunate enough that that they have the second overall pick in a year with 3 legit top quarterbacks that gives you your second choice, potentially your first choice. And if you end up preferring the guy that the Bears don't take at one, then you get it. And you don't have to give up a huge amount of picks to move up for a quarterback. You're not looking at doing one of these trades like Carolina did last year, where they gave up a huge amount of resources in terms of draft picks and a really good player and DJ Moore. And we've seen that with other teams, you know, the 49ers giving up two first round picks to move up to Trey Lance. Washington doesn't have to do that by luck of where they're picking. So it was a rough season, but it could bear some really excellent fruit for them in the form of a young franchise quarterback and a guy that they can build around for the next 10 to 15 years. So definitely, I think they would are making the smart move to turn down these trade offers, because you don't know when you're going to have another shot at it. Maybe you improve the team and you become mediocre, and then you're just kind of stuck at the end of the top 10 or in the teens year after year, just outside to get, you know, a really good one. And then you maybe, you know, roll the dice on a Russell Wilson trade. There's just so many bad things that can kind of come about when you're desperate and forced into it. So I think they're in a great spot. They can get one of these top three quarterbacks and really start building a young core to that team that could put them as the best team in the NFC East before too long.
Charlie Campbell of Walter Football. Do we have any idea, did your sources say, what the number two pick might go for? Like, at what point would they have to consider it? All that you just said about the quarterbacks notwithstanding.
No, I don't think – I mean, they didn't get specific as far as, you know, we offered them three first-round picks or two first-round picks and, you know, this player. They didn't get that specific. They just teams guys said, we tried to see if they would be willing to move down, and they said no. You know, they turned it down, said they're staying at two. So so they've forced to go look elsewhere to move up or go a different route. So definitely, I think they sound really committed to sticking there at two, because some of these other teams are picking in the top 10. So you're not having to drop too far to still, you know, come away with a really good player, a top 10 talent, but you're definitely going to be missing out on the top three quarterbacks if you move down. So they're of the mind that we're going to stick and pick and get one of these three.
Charlie, I'm with you in terms of the analysis of saying, I think it is smart. You don't know when you're going to be here again, et cetera. But there is a point where no matter what your proclivities are, you'll do the thing. Like, you ever played that stupid game with idiot friends of yours where you go, how much money to jump off that or eat that or swim through this thing that's toxic, whatever. And there's always a dollar amount. There's always a figure. What's that point for you where you go, you know what, this is too much to pass? It sounds like maybe Washington hasn't received that yet, but what would that walk-away point be where you go, you know what, I don't care who the pick is, this deal is too good for us to pass up?
I think that would have to be like at least three, if not four, first-round picks, but no one has offered that kind of deal yet, that, to my knowledge. So I think that would really be one where you'd have to think about it, because at least then when you know you have multiple first round picks for 3 years in a row or, you know, 4 years, then you can deal future draft picks potentially to move up for one next year or the year after. But it's still so, you know, pie in the sky, because even next year, what if that draft class only has one quarterback like Shador Sanders from Colorado? What if he's the only one? A year like where, for example, a couple years ago, Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback to go in the first round, but he wasn't a high first round caliber prospect. So you just don't know what's going to be coming down in the future. You can't count on it. And as we all know in the NFL, owner's patience run out, you know. So after 2 or 3 years, if you haven't solved that quarterback position and you're not a playoff team, you know, Peters and Dan Quinn could be out. So they know this league is not for long, and you got to start that building process to become a winner immediately. So I think it would have to be something insane, like 3 or 4 first round picks. But I don't see other teams willing to do that at this point.
Charlie Campbell, Walter Football. How do your quarterback rankings and tiers look right now?
Well, I think you have the top three of Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. And then
is that how you rank those three, by the way?
Well, no, for me personally, but I tell readers all the time, my opinion doesn't matter. It's where teams value these guys. But my opinion, I like Drake May the most, just my personal opinion. I think he's the safest and most transferable to the NFL and the style of play of the league. But I think those three are legit high first-round picks in any draft. So I think that's the top tier. Then I think J.J. McCarthy is a bit of a more riskier pick. I think he really should go back half of the first round, but I think he'll go higher. But in my opinion, I think that's where he belongs as a player. And I think Bo Nix would belong in the second round as a player, given his skill set. I think Michael Penix should go in the third round, just in my opinion, and I'd put Spencer Rattler in that third round range as well.
Charlie, among the guys up at the top, and Charlie Campbell with us here from Walter Football, among the guys up at the top, who's the guy that you could see? It's, you know, not fair to assign, we're not saying this is what's going to happen, but who's the guy that you could see it just not working for at all, and it never really clicking, and that floor being lower than anyone else's?
Wow, that's a great question because, you know, there's when I was talking with the guy from an NFC team who's an assistant GM, you know, he said to me, I can make a convincing argument why any of these top three is going to be a boom pick, and I could also put together a convincing argument as to why they'd be a bust. And that's the difficulty of the quarterback evaluation, and it's very hard. And there's a lot of other factors involved, like the team that a player goes to, what they have to work with, and coaches and receivers and an offensive line and a defense that can play complementary football. So it's so complex as to how they actually pan out. But in my opinion, I think Caleb Williams might be the riskiest in terms of just the football character and the makeup side of it. I think Jaden Daniels is the riskiest on the field version of those top three, just because he needs to see it come open first. You don't see him, you know, getting back there and letting it rip and letting, you know, trusting his receivers about to break open. You don't see the anticipatory throws as much from him. He needs to see that receiver come open. And I think May have the lowest ceiling of the three, but I think he's also the safest to turn into a Jared Goff caliber starter is what I think he could be. So that right there, you say, well, that's not Pat Mahomes, you know, caliber, but Jared Goff is a really good player who had his team close to the Super Bowl and has been to a Super Bowl previously. So that's a guy you can win with in this league. So it's a really difficult way to kind of look at the different strengths and weaknesses of all three and then negotiate which weaknesses you're the most comfortable of taking on.
Charlie Campbell, Walter Football on Grant and Danny. What do you know about Washington's proclivities here, if anything, that you're hearing, other than that they don't want to trade back, as far as who they might want to take? And then also, what would you guess here if you were mocking a pick to them at number two?
Well, I've heard different things. I've heard that some of the scout side of it likes Jaden Daniels more than Drake May, and that Caleb Williams is their top one. And then I've heard that some of the people up top there, Adam Peters and some of the new brain trust prefer Drake May over Daniels. So it's still pretty early. And then, you know, I think Cliff Kingsbury, from asking around people that have worked with him, they thought that Daniels might be a better fit, but really any of the three could work in his offense. So I'm hearing a lot of different stuff, and it's still, I think it's still too early to say that there's a clear pecking order with Washington right now. I think they're still working through that.
Just trying to cover all the bases here. The opportunity would still, you know, happen potentially. Washington, I know one of the main reasons we had you on here, Charlie, was that they've rejected overtures to trade back. But let's say they did, because they happen to like the McCarthy, Knicks, Penix, you know, somebody else in maybe that tier down. Which one of those guys in that next year out of the top three would fit well with what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do and what might be kind of a sneaky good play?
I think Knicks would be the sneaky good play of that group. I think, one, J.J. McCarthy, I think, has a lack of passing instincts, and he comes from a ground-based offense where they were in some, you know, tight games like Penn State last year where it seemed almost like they didn't trust him to throw or potentially make a game-changing play, and they ran the ball the entire second half. And then you see, you know, in the playoffs, he makes a few really clutch plays on third downs that were huge for them winning those games. So I think with him, there's more of a mystery. With Bo Nix, you have a lot of experience, a lot of starts. He's much, much more, I think, advanced in terms of understanding what things games defenses are trying to play, trying to set up some tricks, and he snuffs it out. I think he definitely does not have the arm talent of McCarthy, but he is a good runner as well, and I think he's an accurate, reliable passer in the short to intermediate part of the field that can operate, you know, a high, fast-paced offense, but also can operate a pro style offense as well. So I think he might be one of the safer picks to at least be potentially a Baker Mayfield-ish caliber quarterback. But you know, you have to negotiate if you feel like you can win with that.
Charlie, great information. Really appreciate the insight, buddy. We love your draft content. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Great talking with you guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Check him out at walterfootball.com. That's Charlie Campbell. A lot of good sourced information there that he got from his time, it sounds like, at the Combine. Want to react next to his suggestion that the Commanders are already telling teams, yeah, we're not likely to trade back. You might want to find somebody else if you're looking to come up the board. What do you make of that? And is that music to your ears? Do you like hearing that the Commanders are likely to stay at two and would prefer not to trade back? We'll open up the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines at 800-636-1067 for you next right here on The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan from West Palm Beach. We're covering spring training presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Good news, bad news situation for the Nationals today. I would think for our listeners anyway, who have been rooting on the kids and wanted to see James Wood make the opening day roster. Eddie Rosario was signed by the Nationals. He was a good baseball player. He could hit. He hit 30 home runs for Minnesota a few years ago, was the MVP of the NLCS. Three seasons back for the Braves when they won the World Series. Last year he hit over 20 home runs in Atlanta. He's been signed by the Nationals, non-roster, minor league deal. So he'll come in here, presumably, if he hits like we think he's going to, he'll win the job in left field and be their starter. And then you can send James Wood to AAA to begin the season. So I say good news, bad news, because it's a possible trade chip that could net you something in the 32-year-old Rosario. Also, the team got a little bit better by adding one proven big leaguer. But I was starting to kind of buy in a little bit to the possibility that Wood was going to crack the opening day roster. And I think that those dreams were dashed some today with the Rosario addition. And I am mature enough to understand this is probably still the best thing to do.
Yeah.
This is the best way forward. But I was starting to get a little excited as James Wood was killing the ball. Today was actually his first game where he had a couple of strikeouts and went 0-for coming off the bench in spring training. He had been by far, and not only the best player at camp, and he still has been for the Nationals, but really almost flawless offensively,
yeah,
avoiding
seriously.
Strikeouts.
Well, he went 0-for today, so you could just send him right down, right? He can't do it. No, I'm kidding. So the excitement fan part of me, the kid that just wants to see the next thing, right? You're the reason to go through dealing with all the losses, getting your teeth kicked in, and winning 50 games, and being the bottom of the division, are for those moments when James Wood calls up, where it's a glimpse of the future. It's to see that 2010 debut of Steven Strasburg. You know, like those are the kinds of great things where you catch a glimpse of the future. That's really fun. But from a ball club practical smart building standpoint,
yeah,
you should sign Eddie Rosario. You know what I mean? Like I'm not saying you were saying differently, but it's a neat thing to do, or not neat. I think it's the smart thing to do because, as you said, you can spend him for a profit. You're not going to owe him all that much. It's not as if that he's now the left fielder for the next 10 years and you can't bring James Wood up ever. This to me just takes the pressure off, and you got a potential middle of the order bat for a second division club.
Well, remember, James Wood plays three positions too.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Left field's barely one of them, and that's the spot he really hasn't played at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just finally this week played for the first time since A-ball in left field. He could play it. It's the easiest of the three. He's traditionally been a center fielder or a right fielder. And so when he gets called up early in the season, he might not be at left field. Maybe Rosario's in left and Lane Thomas is in right and James Wood starts in center. I don't think you want him to start in center for his whole career because he's so big that the wear and tear on his body would probably take away and sap some of his excellence at the plate. So eventually I would kick him over to right. Maybe you could play him in right initially so he's got less to worry about defensively and you move Lane Thomas over. But Rosario, who they plug in left field potentially now, was an 80th percentile defender in terms of range last year. He can run a little bit, 65th percentile in terms of speed. And as we talked about, 20 home runs last season. He's got power. The Nationals were so bad at hitting the ball over the fence last season. They had to add more power, so they went out and they got Gallo. They brought in Jesse Winker. Now you've got Rosario. You've at least got a few guys who could potentially hit the ball over the fence for you until James Wood gets here with the massive pop that he's got in the bat.
That's the idea. Keep the seat warm with some production. Maybe you spin him for a profit. It's a low-risk signing. Again, it's not as if they committed – obviously, this organization didn't do that, but it's not as if they committed tens of millions of dollars in multiple years, deferred over blah, blah, blah. This is, non-roster minor league invitation for a guy that's going to play at the major league level for a couple of months.
More on the Nationals in just a bit. Wanted to get back, though, to what Charlie Campbell just told us, because this is – if his sources – we're telling him that the Commanders have made it pretty clear they don't want to trade back. If they're right and they've got that information down pretty solid, that's a pretty huge development this early in the process on March 6th. The one thing I would take issue with is I don't think the Commanders would definitively tell clubs right now, we're not trading the pick. It's just too early. You haven't gotten far enough into negotiations. You don't know what teams are going to offer. There's no benefit to telling teams you're not trading back right now. It doesn't even make sense that they would want to do that. Give me one plus to telling a club that you plan on staying put and taking a pick at two. If your point is maybe, well, they'll just come back with more of an offer. Okay, but then you wouldn't have to say, I'm not trading back. You would just say, no, that's not enough, which is not what Charlie's reporting. Charlie's saying the teams that called the Commanders were told, find another team, we're staying at two. So the timeline here is weird to me. I think that would happen later. I'm not questioning his reporting. I'm just saying I'm throwing this into a stew of a bunch of the things you're going to hear this time of year rather than taking it just as gospel. But I have to imagine they'd prefer to stay put and make the pick. I hope so. It's the right thing to do. The right thing for them to do. I don't care how many needs they have. I don't care if they didn't have a single player under contract for next year. The most important thing is to get the right quarterback. And I think they got a chance to. Whether that's May, who I really like, or Daniels, who they might decide is the guy, you stay there, you take a QB prospect who's got a higher ceiling and more potential than pretty much any quarterback you've had other than Robert Griffin on draft day in the last 30 years. See where it gets you.
See, it's interesting because to me, I do see it as a negotiating ploy. In other words, I look at it as a, we are reminding the world we're in an excellent position. No, you don't dictate to us, we dictate to you. We're fully planning on staying right there and taking a quarterback that we love. If you'd like to move us off this spot, do way better than that. We're not shopping this pick. We're not doing the thing where we're calling a bunch of people for the highest bidder and it's a little bit of an auction. We are more than pleased. In fact, looking forward to the idea of staying put and drafting our quarterback, please and thank you. If you'd like this spot, you need to do something ridiculous, and none of y'all are doing it.
Well, I agree.
That's what this reads to me. And you said this very well, but I want to double-click on it. To me, this is lying season. This is the season of misinformation. It's the season of agendas. Not necessarily lying, but it's a season of everybody's getting something out there to their what they believe is to their own advantage, hoping that some of the chum leads to some sharks biting. This, to me, is Washington asserting their dominance here in the wild, basically reminding anybody, we would love to stay at number two and take a quarterback. Anything less than something that's so incredible, we're not moving off that because this is the first thing on our agenda.
And that's kind of what I would imagine you would answer. But just to be clear, if you missed the interview or you didn't read Charlie's report last night, what he's saying is that they're telling teams they're not trading the pick, which I think is different than turning down the early preliminary offers and suggestions, right? He's saying, at one point in the interview we just did with him, he said that the Commanders told a team, find another trade partner. Like, we're going to draft the quarterback second overall. I'll read you the quote. I mean, he said point blank. He said they have decided there's, quote, it looks like they've zeroed in on taking a quarterback at two. And I'm just surprised that they got there that quickly. One other thing from that interview I want to ask you about before we hit the phones and get some reactions from you guys at 800-636-1067. What about when asked who they're taking it to or what he's hearing, who do they like more? He said that the lower level types and some of their scouts, he's told, like Jaden Daniels. But he said, quote, I've heard that some of the people up top there, and he name-checked Adam Peters, the GM, prefer Drake May, went on to provide the caveat, it's still early, I'm hearing a lot of different stuff, they're still working through that. I don't even think they've made their mind up yet. I mean, it's so early in the process, we're in our infancy, but he's getting rumblings that maybe the scouts, remember, the guys that were here before, are more in the Daniels camp.
Uh-huh.
Peters, Newmark, maybe the new school guys that just got in here are more in the Drake May camp. Wouldn't that be interesting if there's a little juxtaposition?
A little rift, right?
Where it tells you the old Marty party and Ron maybe would have gone one way, and the new guard might be leaning another if you're buying what he's selling.
Yeah, well, of course, this is what a healthy organization is supposed to have. It's not this one voice at the top that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. You want a difference of opinion. You want guys to have to defend their cases. You want guys to be able to say, no, I disagree with that. Doesn't mean that you're mad. Doesn't mean that you are questioning authority. It should be that kind of thing. But you also understand that when it's time, when the call goes in, the one voice on the line is Adam Peters, right? That's the difference from years past. It's someone didn't know what the hell they were doing, was disinterested, couldn't be bothered to do all the legwork, then would show up and either make a pick from the yacht or whatever the hell Rivera and company were doing. So, yeah, you're going to have scouts disagree. You're going to have people that look at one guy and see something, and the other guys look at the same person and see something else. That's normal. That's part of this process, right? But to me, I'm just thinking about the pedigrees of the guys and how they got here. Would you say that, you know, thinking about where Peters came from, New England, Denver, San Francisco, et cetera, that May is maybe the more classic archetype or sort of prototype of a quarterback that would fit in some of those different, you know, whether it's a Shanahan type system or something to that effect, and Daniels is very much kind of the new school, do a little bit of everything, the best athlete on the field, sort of, you know, kind of that modern version? I wonder if the proclivities kind of play into that.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I certainly think May is more of a traditional, I guess, to your point, quarterback.
I mean, it's all different now because everyone's so athletic. But you know what I mean?
Sure, but here's the problem with that idea is do we know what Peters prefers? Like, he's never run his own draft. And you're probably drafting for your coaches. Mm-hmm. Maybe Dan Quinn has a say because he's going to be here longer. But I would think, to some extent, Cliff Kingsbury's offense is what you're trying to execute next year. What does Cliff Kingsbury want? Mm-hmm. And what works in his offense versus what doesn't? Maybe Adam Peters, throughout his career, very much liked that more prototypical QB. But Cliff Kingsbury goes, I think Jaden Daniels is perfect for me. I mean, your job is constantly evolving and changing. So I'm not even sure, you know, if what Peters has always kind of preferred or done helps us with the answer key mm-hmm. that much. It's going to be fascinating. It's just going to be a fun few months leading up to and then after the draft here. Now let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Our buddy Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris? How are you?
What's up, guys? I hope you have enjoyed your boys' trip down to West Palm. It sounds like there's been many shenanigans and hijinks.
It's been great.
There's been ballyhoo, tomfoolery.
We actually, just so you know, sir, we have a new update and a brand new story to tell on the Double Play in a few minutes of the latest installment of Clary on the Road. So that's coming your way at 3:45.
Yeah. And by the way, really quick, I'm not a fan of the Rosario deal. I'm not going to derail the conversation because this is about football, but I'm not a fan of blocking James Wood at all, or anybody for that.
Well, it's a lot less fun.
When he's ready, he'll be there. He can play if he was left field only.
He's ready now.
Kind of.
Look, these guys are way ready much earlier than they ever have been. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. was 30 years ago, and he was a 19-year-old. Now 19-year-olds make the league all the time.
Aggressive, but I get what you're saying.
More often, yeah.
There's no downside at all to having him at AAA for the first few weeks of the season and bringing him up when he's rolling. I don't think that's a problem. But don't get me wrong. I'd rather be sitting at Nats Park eating a hot dog.
It's a lot more fun.
On opening day watching James Wood than Eddie Rosario, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, well, I want to play with my new toy that I just got under the tree. I want to take it outside right away.
So
I completely agree, by the way, with Chris Sims, that I think that, you know, Drake May is a project. You know, he's more on the Jordan Love kind of roadmap, in my opinion, which is problematic at number two, because if you draft a guy at number two, he has to start right away. Like, you can't just say, oh, we're going to give him time, because the clock is ticking the minute you draft him in terms of contract. And there's just too much pressure and you know, the nature of the number two pick. As far as the Walter football guy, like, look, as you guys said, this is lying season. I really don't take anything that these guys, insiders, say you know, with any seriousness at this point, because there is no advantage to giving away this information at this crucial time and losing any kind of leverage.
I think you're right. Appreciate the call, buddy, as
Thank
always.
You, bud.
Two things really quick that needs to be said. Number one, he didn't get this from the Commanders. So, yeah, there's no benefit for the Commanders getting the word out. They didn't get the word out. The Commanders told teams this, and teams told him that, which is how you get told on in the business all the time. That's number one. Number two, I don't want to speak for Chris, but I'll speak for myself, and I know for the show, you as well, Danny. When we're questioning, like, do we think this is worth stapling in as gospel, it's not to say our guy Charlie's making it up or anything like that. It's just whoever's telling him
is, has an agenda.
Everyone's got an agenda. Yes. You're trying to read the tea leaves. Double play is next. Our guy Ryan Clary, who's been a blast to hang with in West Palm Beach, added a page to the book of Clary on this trip yesterday at dinner. So we'll get into that right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coverage of Nat Spring Training presented by Main Street Bank, your local bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're Grant and Danny at West Palm Beach in Florida. Got a Beltway Blitz coming up at 4. A lot of Caps news over the last 24 hours. So we've got an appointment with our buddy Joe Beninati at 5. He'll be joining us from Pittsburgh. No Anthony Manta for the Capitals against the Pens tomorrow.
He doesn't play for them anymore.
Not unless the Vegas Golden Knights are playing the Penguins. He has been traded. Rasmus Sandin, a contract extension. He broke the bank a bit on the blue line. So we'll talk to Joe B about all that coming up at 5 o'clock. It is time for our double play. Who would like to help Ryan tell the story last night at dinner of him getting to know Jose Altuve a little bit? Danny, do you feel good about that?
I'll do my best here. I think it's an all-hands-on-deck type situation.
Well, so, I'm at a point where I love Ryan. And I don't want I don't want people to think I'm beating up on Ryan. Like, I don't want to play that game where it's just always like me slapping him around. That's not what I'm trying to do here. He's my favorite. He's made my trip better. He makes every day I'm around him better. He's just a smiley, fun guy. How would you describe yourself? I'm a blank guy. What kind of guy are you?
I think I'm a good guy.
Good guy. But what about if you were at a bar late at night smiling and then I said, what kind of guy are you? What would you say?
I'd still say a good guy.
Good guy. Mm. All right.
He's a mushroom. He's a fun guy.
Fun guy.
But last night was a particularly good page in the book of Clary, I would say.
Mm. Cut to the group, plus Bobby Blocko from the Bronx. So it's a group of six head to a little place called Grotto. If you're in West Palm, I highly recommend that. It is so choice. Excellent Italian spot. Really, really good food stuffs. So that's not the point of the story. We're sitting at a table. A couple quick side notes about the table. Grant immediately hated the chair so much.
It was awful.
And he was like, going to do a thing that was going to make me uncomfortable. He's going to ask
the waiter, which
I was so happy about.
I saw how bothered you were.
Thank God he didn't. I just buried my head in the menu. I never want you to look at the menu
really
quick. As soon as you get there. Yep.
Not a big deal. So
it's not a big deal.
We sit down. Mm-hmm. We have six of us. It's a table for six.
Yep.
We don't sit. We actually climb a lifeguard stand. And
the chairs were high. It was a high top table. It was very high.
Extremely very high chairs, and they were tiny chairs.
Yep.
Darris, back me up on this, please.
Those chairs were not friendly to gentlemen of our stature with big, thick thighs.
I felt like my inner knees were like I was just rubbing bone to bone.
It basically was the case, yes.
And, you know, it was awful. So right away we sit down. So within 20 seconds, I made the decision. I already hate high tops. Even by just the scale of high tops, mm-hmm. This is the worst one I've ever been
this
in my life.
This is the tough high top situation.
It's awful. So within the first minute of sitting down, it wasn't like we'd been there for 20 minutes. And,
no.
You know, we've already ordered. I was going to just grab the hostess when she walked right back by, and I told Danny, I said, I'm going to ask her if we can go to that low top over there. There was one other table that was open at the time in the restaurant, and it would have sat us.
Yep.
And Danny kind of did this, like, he didn't say a word.
I didn't say anything.
But he just kind of looked, like, straight down at the table as if to say, I'm not involved in
this. I'm pre-mortified. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed.
Like, I could just tell you didn't want me to do it.
Correct.
So I just took one.
Good read. Yep.
And said, Danny is going to be uncomfortable. I got out of my chair, and I stood up for the entire
time. And Grant stood. We slip on that fact that Grant stood the entire time. Like, people have a standing desk. Grant had a standing dinner. I thought that was amazing.
With all due respect to how fun you guys were and how great the meal was, because being buried is, that was one of the best meals I've had in months.
It was terrific.
It was so great.
I know we're not selling it with this high top table situation, but that place is awesome.
No, it's like one of the best restaurants in West Palm Beach. Mm-hmm. But I would have rather left and eaten by myself at a fast food place to be named later.
Wow.
And met up with you guys at the golf joint after that than have sat in that chair for another 30 seconds. I just would have opted out altogether. So I just stood up, didn't make a scene about it, and I just stood right there. But the table was so high, you didn't really know. Because I table was at my nipples. So I was kind of like reaching up to eat even while standing anyway, because we were all sitting in lifeguard stands.
Yeah, the table was nipple height just to get your bearings. So shortly, I mean moments after the fellas are seated, we're not too far from the hostess stand, the bar, et cetera, et cetera. Little Jose Altuve rolls in with a compatriot. We weren't sure who his buddy was.
Wee little Jose Altuve, about 5'6".
Just a wee lot.
I think either former player, member of coaching staff. Think he had a World Series ring on.
Yeah, so it looked like a pal, maybe a teammate, as you said, maybe a member of the coaching staff, grad assistant, who knows. So they roll up to the host stand, and it looks like they didn't have a reservation. And so they're told, hey, your table will be ready in a little bit. So here's Jose Altuve and friend waiting and waiting and waiting. We are probably 60%+ of the way through our entire meal. Everyone did a good job, by the way, ordering promptly. No sending the waiter away. Be ready to order. Get some food. Eat it. Great job by everyone to focus the energy. We learned from our mistakes early on in the trip. But finally, Jose Altuve and his buddy are seated. And there's a little it's not the main bar where you get the drinks. It's like a food bar at this kind of place. Hard to explain. Is that a good way to describe it?
Second bar.
Yeah, it's like a secondary
back of the
bar.
Restaurant.
Yeah. Where it's like, hey, man, you know, you can have maybe like a interaction with a sous chef or something like that that is going to wander off. I don't know exactly how it's set up. But, it was, again, very nice. You still get the same food. So Jose Altuve and company order a nice bottle of red wine, and they're waiting to sit and eat. And we've been kind of remarking the whole time, how funny is this? Jose Altuve doesn't have a guy. Like, he can't get a reservation. But these six portly idiots roll right in and are getting the check pretty much by the time he sits down.
I think he was waiting for his table for 45 minutes.
That's what we think. We couldn't believe it. Like, I guess he didn't have anything else to do, but still, he's Jose Altuve. He's World Series. He's an MVP, for goodness sakes, right? He can't get any help. So Ryan, I guess, wants documentation.
Yeah, what was your what was your mindset on needing a picture of Jose Altuve eating dinner?
Well, I live by the philosophy is no one will believe anything unless you have a picture of it. So I feel like none of my friends would believe that Jose Altuve was sitting right across from me if I did not have a picture of him.
Picks or it didn't happen, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Pick or it didn't happen.
Picks or it didn't happen. So the word of six friends wouldn't change anything?
No.
Okay. So the way it's behind Grant's right shoulder, in between Grant and Tobias, right? So Ryan is, like, looking at his phone. He kind of, like, see if he can take a picture, but he's pretending to do the thing where he's anxiously looking at his phone at eye level, but it's obvious to anybody that might spend half a second seeing it's a picture.
You've never texted at that height.
Yeah, no one would ever do that, right? But he's going to try to snap a photo of Jose Altuve. Kind of gets him in frame, taps the screen, doesn't like it, goes back down again. Comes back up to look at the picture, thinks he's got it, this looks good. Okay, now I've got Altuve, who's kind of turned a little bit so that he's facing him, and he goes ahead and snaps the picture.
Well, Toby has told him multiple times, mind you, hey, man, that's pretty obvious.
It's like, pretty obvious.
You don't have to do that. And I've made the point to him, I'm like, you're in the clubhouse if you want to be. He's at West Palm tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., you got the credential. Walk right up to his locker, slap him on the ass if you want to. You can do whatever you'd like. He's going to be there. You're going to be there. You got all the access to Jose Altuve you could ever want. You don't need to take a picture of him.
But he's out in the wild.
Go up and give him a bear hug. The wild thing, I totally get. That is cool. I'm a huge celebrity sighting guy. I totally understand that. I'd probably take a picture of, like, A-list celebrity or something too. So I'm not joining there. But it was pretty obvious, and Toby kept telling him it was pretty obvious. Ryan was very confident that he was, quote, stealthy.
He goes, that, and that was the key. He said, I'm very stealthy. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Showed everyone how fine it was.
I've been doing this for years, so I've never been caught.
You know how when there's an eclipse, you can't look directly at it because it's too bright? That's number one. Number two in terms of brightness was the flash that went off on Ryan's camera that startled the entire
restaurant.
Everybody was a frightened gazelle after a gunshot.
The moment after he said how stealthy he was.
This is seconds after I got it. I'm stealthy. It'll be fine. The flash. I mean, they literally made a movie called The Flash about Ryan's flash on his camera. It wasn't about the guy Ezra, whatever, going back in time and running fast. The brightest flash of all time. Everybody turns and looks like a startled giraffe in the Serengeti, including the object of the picture, Jose Altuve.
Yeah, okay. So this wasn't one of my brightest moments. This was not
well,
one
it was
of
very
my
bright.
I would
it was
say
very
it was
bright.
Your brightest moment.
It was super
probably
bright.
My brightest moment, thinking about it. But
goes, yeah.
At that moment in time, I thought I was just taking a harmless photo of Jose Altuve. Because the reason why, now Danny kind of described this perfectly, I went back up originally and I saw my photo, like my camera was on the live photo, and so it would kind of like move around. The live photos are a little weird. So I turned that off, at least I thought I turned that off. Actually, what I did was I turned the flash on. So then I went back up to take
stealthy.
A picture. I got it right there perfectly. It was right in the picture,
there
the frame.
Yeah.
Snapped that photo, bam, flash. Jose Altuve immediately looks back. I put my hand over the camera just to try to
stealthing.
Try to avoid something. So I actually had that photo that I posted on Twitter at Ryan Clary.
Of your hand.
Of my hand that you just see
is oh
a
my
blocked
God.
Photo
oh
of what could have been Jose Altuve trying to make sure that he didn't notice it. He did notice it. He looked over. He never looked back over once that time.
You guys make eye contact?
Yeah, he looked right at me. It was
nice.
Very awkward.
John Trimble on Twitter, with my favorite comment on X since we've gotten here, tweeted me last night when I mentioned this little anecdote at Grant H. Paulson. He said, protect at Ryan Clary 11 at all costs. We don't deserve him. I love it. I love that. Blitz
the stealth
comes your way next on G&D. Joe Beninati at 5, Lane Thomas of the Nats at 6.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.